I have said on here before that I like to read, wherever and whenever I can. Prior to a recent trip to Equok to help with teaching a hunter's education class, I stopped by AC for a few food items, and while there I took a look at their book section, in the hopes of spotting new material. I was rewarded not once but twice with new titles by Lincoln Child and Michael Crichton, two authors from whom I've read a great number of books. The one by Crichton surprised me a bit, as he passed away a decade ago, and it wasn't a title with which I was familiar. It turns out it was published, posthumously, last year, after his widow found the manuscript. Titled Dragon Teeth, it's a historical fiction novel set in the American West in 1876, during the Bone Wars, which was a very real thing. It was a period of fervent competition for fossil hunting between two real-life paleontologists, Othniel Charles Marsh and Edward Drinker Cope, who genuinely hated each other and used every dirty trick in the book to try and get ahead. The plot follows a fictional protagonist, William Johnson, a Yale student, who begins the summer working for one paleontologist and finishes it working for the other, and the adventures that they go through trying to get bones out of the ground in hostile territory. If the name Michael Crichton sounds familiar, he wrote a slew of books during his life, many of which were turned into big-budget movies, including a different type of dinosaur story, the Jurassic Park franchise. It's said that Dragon Teeth is the dinosaur forerunner that got him interested in dinosaurs enough to write Jurassic Park in the first place, and the ones that came after it. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. So why all this hubbub over dinosaurs? Because in the process of reading Dragon Teeth, a solid read by the way, it got me to wondering about prehistoric creatures that once graced Alaska in the past. Currently, we have the largest bears to be found on Earth, as well as the largest members of the deer family, moose. We also have many other large critters to include walruses, whales, and wolves, oh my. But all of them pale in comparison, size-wise, to most of the fossils of species that used to walk the Earth, and many of those did so in Alaska. Today, let's take a look at some species we know used to be here, thought to be so because the bones found strongly suggest that was the case. People probably most often think of large extinct mammal species when they consider prehistoric species in Alaska at all. And we've had our share to include the mammoth, mastodon, dire wolf, saber-toothed tiger, and long-horned bison. We'll come back to take a look at some of those species in a bit. But Alaska hasn't always been cold, and there were large dinosaurs that once roamed our state. The showcase dinosaur in that first Jurassic Park movie was the Tyrannosaurus rex, an apex predator, if ever there was one. Well, there were several types of tyrannosaurs, and one, the Albertosaur, left behind fossil evidence in Alaska and Canada. This dinosaur was first discovered in Alberta, Canada in 1884, hence the name. Albertosaurus was a dinosaur which made a living on Earth approximately 76 million years ago during the Mesozoic period. Fossils indicate it was what's considered a typical theropod, hollow bones and three-toed limbs. It was bipedal, with large hind legs and much smaller forelimbs. It is believed it had the ability to move swiftly and was a very fine predator indeed. Although it mostly had the look, at a glance, of a tyrannosaur, there were some differences between it and the ones depicted in Jurassic Park. It was smaller in size, at 30 feet in length and 3 tons. The skull was thinner and its teeth was more adapted to ripping and tearing rather than out-and-out crushing. Even so, it was likely fearsome to behold. Over 30 individuals have been recovered, making it one of the most well-known tyrannosaur types in existence, including 26 that were found at a single site, leading to speculation that it could have been a pack hunter. Several have been found in Alaska. Another dinosaur that traversed Alaska is the Pachyrhinosaurus, a blocky herbivore that bore some resemblances to the better-known Triceratops. In fact, a new type of this species was found along the Colville River in northern Alaska in 2006. The first remains of such creatures were discovered by Charles M. Sternberg in Alberta, Canada in the mid-1950s. Sternberg, by the way, was a legend at my alma mater, Fort Hays State, and the museum there is named for him and has a lot of the fossils he discovered during his career. The largest Pachyrhinosauruses were 26 feet long and weighed around 4 tons. They were herbivores and had strong cheek teeth to help them chew through really stout fibrous plants. They had something of a shield at the back of their head, like a triceratops, and they had two pairs of prominent horns that grew out of the top of that shield. They also had a parrot-like beak at the front of the mouth. Also from the Colville River area, we have a type of hadrosaur, you know, the duck-billed species, that even now scientists are engaging in debate over whether it's a separate species that was unique to Alaska or an offshoot of Edmontosaurus, an extremely common type of hadrosaur. According to those who say it's unique, there are differences in the skull and mouth. They say the differences were not immediately apparent because the Alaska dinosaurs that were unearthed were juveniles. Honestly, at this point, the whole thing sounds like splitting hairs over different types of mosquitoes. In other words, if those differences are actually there, you or I aren't likely to notice. The Alaska hadrosaur, if it survives scrutiny in the coming years, has an Inupiat name that I'm not going to try and pronounce, though I can tell you it translates to ancient grazer. Adults were believed to grow as large as 30 feet in length and walked on their hind legs. The large number of fossil remains in Alaska were from juveniles in the 9-foot range. Shifting gears a bit, let's consider mammals now. Bison have been in the news in the last few years with reintroduction efforts up on the Hinoco River a few years back, and that herd is doing well from what I've read. As big as bison are, and mature bulls are very large, they don't come close to what used to wander North America. The giant bison, predecessor to the types we have today, was the largest bovid to walk the earth. Mature bulls stood over 8 feet tall at the shoulder, weighed over 4,000 pounds, and had horns that went as much as 7 feet wide tip to tip. It's thought that they came across the Bering Land Bridge and made their way down into what's now the lower 48, crossing and grazing their way across Alaska in the process. It's also thought that they lived in much smaller herds than the modern-day bison that covered so much of the plains a couple of centuries ago. Certainly those horns they had would have been helpful against some of the many predators they likely faced, such as the short-faced bear. Think of a bear with a shorter snout, but not entirely dissimilar to our brown bears, but larger. Large boars stood over 12 feet high when standing on their hind legs, weighed well over 2,000 pounds, and were 6 feet high or more at the shoulder, meaning that they could look a person eye to eye at that level. It may have been the largest carnivorous land mammal that ever lived in North America. Also, it leaned more heavily on a carnivorous diet than our current brown bears. This we know from concentrations of the isotope nitrogen-15 found in fossils, which indicate that vegetation was almost non-existent in what they ate. Another predator was what many called the saber-toothed tiger, though it wasn't really related to tigers at all, other than being a cat. The actual name is Smilodon, which translates to saber-tooth, so that part's right. It was more closely related to modern-day African lions and was actually just a bit less in size with regards to weight than African lions. In terms of their physical appearance, they were stockier and more muscular than African lions, and mature specimens were maybe 5 feet long, 3 feet at the shoulder, and weighed 400 to 500 pounds. The obvious difference, their defining trait, was those really long canines, which were often 8 to 10 inches in length for mature adults. While those teeth certainly looked fearsome, they did not have a particularly powerful bite, as predators go, and the teeth were somewhat brittle. If a tooth broke, it wasn't coming back. It is thought they used their canines to induce massive blood loss, rather than out-and-out crushing them, and that they'd let the animal bleed out and come back to feed after the fact. It seems to me that a listing of some of the long-extinct species of Alaska would be incomplete without mentioning the woolly mammoth. Why do I say that? Because woolly mammoths are, I kid you not, and maybe you know this already, the official Alaska state fossil. Certainly there's some solid reasons for that, as remains have been found throughout our state, to include folks turning up tusks and such on the beaches of southwest Alaska. In terms of size, they were about the size of modern African elephants. What set them apart was the long, dense fur, sometimes 3 feet in length, which covered their bodies, and those really long, curving tusks. Many complete mammoths have been found, preserved in ice in colder climates, which has led to an interesting thought: the revival of an extinct species. We may not be close to seeing dinosaurs resurrected, such as Crichton depicted in Jurassic Park, but according to a group of scientists from Harvard, we're just a few years away from seeing mammoths brought back to life via DNA extracted from preserved specimens. If you think I'm pulling your leg because Sunday is April Fool's Day, well, get online and check it out for yourself. Here's hoping your gullibility level for this weekend is fairly low. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.